From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. There's been an ongoing debate over what role police officers ought to have in schools. On one hand, there are stories of police, known as school resource officers, being there for their students, acting as a helping hand for those in need, and even preventing tragedies. But there are also plenty of instances where a student resource officer is just not necessary and has even escalated situations. A high school in Rockford, Illinois, is navigating through this right now after a student resource officer allegedly body slammed a then 14-year-old student, knocking the student unconscious and fracturing his skull. The reason? The student skipped part of his second period class and was caught walking down the hall. Joining us now to talk about this incident and what has happened since is WNIJ education reporter and host of the Teachers Lounge podcast, Peter Medlin. Peter, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So let's talk. Tell me more. What happened here about in this incident?
So this incident took place on September 21st of 2021. So this is over a year and a half ago now. And this is, again, in September. So it was just after Paris Moore, the student, he's 14. He was a freshman at the time. So it was just a few weeks after he had started high school. And the day before the incident, he was in his second period class. He was wearing a hoodie. The teacher asked him to remove it. He didn't want to. And she asked him to leave the class. So he left. He went home. And the next day he came to school, first period, no incident. And then second period back in that class, he was saying the teacher was kind of nitpicking him, asking him about where to sit. And so he decided to leave the classroom. And as you mentioned, he left, started walking down the hallway. And that's when a assistant principal over at Auburn High School got involved, started grabbing Paris, pulling him down the hallway towards the office. He was then pulled into a room that was just off of the main office, where afterwards, after a couple minutes, a school resource officer, as you mentioned, came in, also started physically grabbing and pulling Paris, who, you know, the lawsuit says is, and you could see on some security cam video, is not fighting back or throwing punches. And he's much smaller than both the assistant principal and the school resource officer. And after a few minutes of them pulling him around and grabbing him, he is thrown to the ground. He hits his head. And then, you know, as you mentioned, he suffered some traumatic brain injury as a result of that incident.
And I guess this is as good a time as any to mention, we did reach out to both the Moore family through their attorney and the Rockford School District, and both declined to be on the show. Why do we know why the police officer deemed it necessary to use this level of force?
No, we have not heard directly from the officer, from the school resource officer. However, school districts and the city who are involved in the lawsuit have defended the actions and said that basically that the officer was his actions were reasonable and pursuant to his official duties, and that, you know, he's, you know, not liable unless his conduct was willful and wanton. And they say it wasn't. So they said that he was acting, you know, pursuant to his job and his responsibilities as an officer.
Now, what a jury decides in a lawsuit is maybe a separate question of the law. But in terms of the facts here, what you describe, this is not and I want to reiterate this because I think you mentioned it briefly, but this is not a he said incident, right? There's videotape of what happened here.
Yeah, that video was released in October as the family came forward with the lawsuits, and so it's available. I mean, it's available at press releases. There's videos that I believe CBS2 in Chicago did some reporting on there and has shown some of the video. Like, it's available to see online in a lot of detail if you want to find. So yeah, this isn't a he said, she said. There is, you know, minutes of security cam footage showing before, during, and after the incident.
All right, you shared with us a clip from Moore's grandmother reacting to this incident. Let's take a listen to what she had to say.
I was so angry. I just want something done to this officer that did this. He could have killed my grandson. And it's not even the matter of just him. Any other child, he has no business to be in these schools using force like that. To me, shouldn't even be in the police force.
And I want to come a little later to this question, some of the systemic questions at issue here, but what else has the family said about this incident, and say more about what how they're responding to it?
So we haven't heard a lot from the family directly outside of in October when the lawsuit got announced. But yeah, they talked about how, like you said, that they're calling on the district to suspend the officer, you know, pending investigation. They're also asking the school, as you mentioned, systemic issues to fully reconsider its school resource officer program. They don't want officers in those schools. And outside of that, the family, again, at that October meeting when they announced the lawsuit, really spent some time talking about what they consider in a kind of alleged cover-up by the district, that the school district, essentially, they said, tried to intimidate them to get them not to pursue legal action against the school district.
And that brings us to why we're talking about this incident, which, as you mentioned, was more than a year ago at this point.
Right. The 2021.
Yeah, exactly. But we're talking about this because it came to our attention. You had a story just a few weeks ago talking as well about the community response to how the school is handling this. So I guess maybe we should start there. You mentioned earlier the school says this was reasonable. Say more about how the school, what is the school's position on this incident?
So yeah, that was the school's reaction was that there is a defense, like you mentioned, that his actions were reasonable. We've heard a little bit from the school board, not much. There was a school board member initially that kind of did deny the cover up and said that it was a short video and that, you know, all the information that came out is just one side of the story and that we'll find out what really happened if this goes to trial. But outside of that, the district really hasn't commented very much about the lawsuit or even about the incident at all. I think that's something that has really rubbed some members of the community the wrong way, is that they feel like the district hasn't even apologized about, they understand how complicated it is when you're dealing with a lawsuit, but even just to say, you know, we're sorry that this happened to the student in the first place.
So let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Peter Medlin from our partner station, WNIJ, Northern Public Radio. He's an education reporter there and host of the Teacher's Lounge podcast. If you want to join us, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So let's talk a little bit more about the school board, because you shared another clip with us of community advocates protesting the incident at a school board meeting. Let's listen to that first.
Because you don't want to address the issue. Because you don't want to address the issue, you're cowards. Because you don't want to address the issue, you use police officers and violence. Cowards.
All right. So this kind of maybe is a jumping off point for the broader issue here. According to some reporting you mentioned earlier, WBBM-TV in Chicago, Auburn High School referred students to police 72 times during the 2017-2018 school year, which is the most recent data I gather, 43 arrests. That means Auburn referred students to police more than 94% of other high schools across the country. And just for people's information, we looked up Auburn High School with the State Board of Education. Its demographic breakdown: 42% Black, 28% White, 18% Hispanic. I wonder if the advocates you spoke with see this over policing as a problem of racism or something else. What are they saying?
Yeah, I think definitely racism is a part of it when you hear them talk about the issues. You mentioned the amount of arrests that have happened at Auburn. You also hear them bring up a lot, again, when these community members speak at the board meetings, they talk about, you know, just the amount of other instances going on where you're talking about exclusionary discipline and about how that happens disproportionately to Black students in those schools like Auburn that are on the west side of Rockford that is more predominantly Black. So yeah, you definitely hear that racism is a part of it when you hear it from the school board or from people that are protesting the school board over the last couple months.
Yeah, and those protests have gotten pretty heated. You also shared audio of an altercation that occurred between a school board member and a community advocate at a meeting. Let's listen to that clip.
Dude, you can't do that.
You
All right. What is happening there? What are we hearing?
Yeah. So in the first clip where you showed some protest, you heard people shouting about police officers and violence. And I think that this issue, so what happens is that involves a local teacher, local history teacher named Nicholas Stange, who is a documentarian also that has been videotaping some instances of police protests starting back in 2020 after George Floyd, where there were some protests in Rockford. So he's been covering Rockford and racism in Rockford for a couple of years through documentaries. And so he was just at the school board meeting shooting video with the camera in the back. He didn't speak out or yell or anything during the meetings. And then after one of the school board meetings in November, he was just standing outside shooting some B-roll footage of the outside of the building, wasn't saying anything, wasn't doing anything aside from shooting video. And then a school board member who is now a former school board member named Mike O'Connor exited the district office where the meeting was taking place, walk up and just swung at him. And, you know, he yelled at him that, you know, you have no business here and you're trying to intimidate me. And so, yeah, that was that just happened in November.
Is this part of a broader story of I mean, we hear often violence directed at school board members. I guess this is sort of a reversal of that. What happened after that?
Yeah, so as mentioned, he's a former board member now. Michael Connor ended up resigning the next day.
And has there been a successor named, or has anyone replaced him yet? Or?
Yeah, they had a successor named. There's elections happening this spring, so the success will be there for the next couple months. Nicholas Stange decided not to file any charges against him. But again, I think it's part of this kind of broader frustration from the community too, right? Where this board member, Michael Connor, is yelling at him, you know, you're trying to intimidate us, after he just threw a punch at him. And that's, you know, right after this lawsuit that is alleging that it's the school board that's trying to intimidate, you know, Paris Moore's family in order to get them not to sue the school district.
Interesting. So this incident happened, as we said, September 2021. What do we know about why it wasn't addressed until the lawsuit came up? I realize that's the subject of the lawsuit, but what is your best understanding of what happened there?
Right. So our best understanding, this kind of goes back to this cover up in this intimidation. There's actually some recent filings that the Moore family's attorneys filed, I believe in December. So just this past month, that detail a little bit further about this cover-up. And so they said that it kind of starts actually back on the day of the incident, where Paris's grandmother picks him up from school as he's sitting in a wheelchair after incurring these injuries. And, you know, she says that at that point, the school administrators told her that there was a scuffle and that her grandson slipped and fell, and that, you know, there was that he was fighting. And then after the incident, actually Moore's lawyers say that the school told them that they weren't going to look to file any, you know, juvenile charges against Paris for fighting or anything like that. But that a month later, when they learned that the family hired counsel and started receiving demands to preserve evidence, the family did get a letter saying that he was being charged with an alleged offense. They really didn't get any more detail about what that offense was. And then after a couple months, those charges were dropped. And then the lawyer also, the lawsuit talks about how the district was really tough to give them any kind of documentation about the incident. So they said that they hadn't given them an incident report from the day that it happened. So I think that all of that stuff, where it's, you know, they had, after the incident, there was the juvenile charges that they had to work with. And then there was the trying to get evidence. And also at the same time, they were trying to get Paris to be able to transfer schools to a different school in Rockford. And they say that the district wouldn't allow him to transfer to a different school.
So what's next? What are you watching for next in your reporting on this?
So actually, the district filed a motion to get the lawsuit dismissed, kind of based on what we're talking about it taking over a year. They said that it's kind of past the statute of limitations and that it would have had to have been filed within a year, but it was just a few weeks past that deadline. So the district filed a motion to dismiss the suit in late December of this past year. So just a few weeks ago, actually. And there isn't a defined date on when there will be any kind of ruling on that. Outside of it, there's kind of still in the discovery process. So I think that we will learn much more about whether or not there will be a trial or what that could look like. Hopefully within 6 or 7 months. The district says they don't want to settle until, or the city says they don't want to settle until they hear from the judge about the motion to dismiss. So we should definitely learn more over the next couple of weeks and months.
Peter Medlin is education reporter at Northern Public Radio, our partner station, WNIJ, also host of the Teachers Lounge podcast. Peter, thanks so much for being with us and sharing your reporting with us today on the 21st show.
Thanks so much for giving me the time.
Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with author and longtime Chicago Sun-Times columnist Neil Steinberg. He's got a new book looking at the history of Chicago and how it affected us in the rest of Illinois, in the Midwest, in the United States, and around the world. It goes day by day from January 1st to December 31st. Conversation with Neil Steinberg when we return. This is the 21st show. Stay with us.